Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm trying to remember if I've cried at a fashion show.
No, but
oh, I
that
did.
Was
I cried at the
one.
Anya Hinmont show when she had the gay choir and they sung, was it Wagner, Tannhauser?
Oh, that sounds.
And I cried, but that was the music.
Was that when we were on the cloud last season?
No, it was. Like,
I loved that.
Yeah, I loved
it. That was amazing.
We cried. We were like, it's a cloud.
It's a cloud. This is a cloud. It's amazing.
I'm like, yeah, I cried at the cloud.
About the cloud. And he wrote, no, but he read the shipping forecast.
Yes, which seemed like a very inside like, joke for forecast. British people.
Hi, I'm Cami Sharia.
And I'm Monica Ainley. And you're listening to Fashion No Filter,
where we sit down with some of the lead creatives, strategic thinkers, and emerging talent around us to interpret the ins and outs of the fashion industry today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to Fashion No Filter.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Cami.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Back from your honeymoon, tanned?
Oh, thanks. We're back in London, getting not tanned, but having a great time, having just experienced a wonderful London Fashion Week.
Yeah. Was it our 10th?
Oh my God. It probably is around our 10th.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to one of our friends, someone that we bump into every single Fashion Week and we always love running into on the streets of Milan, Paris, London, and New York. And we managed to grab her in between shows at her hotel room.
We captured her.
Yeah. So Jenny Walton, who is an illustrator and the creative director for The Sartorialist, the famous street style blogger.
Yes. And Jenny is very much a street style star in her own right and has such a unique sense of style and such a brilliant voice in terms of talking about fashion. She's really educated on the history of fashion in a way that you don't always see these days. So she's a really interesting person to speak to. But before that, we're going to give you our little review of London Fashion Week.
Let's do it.
So what was your favorite show, Cam?
My favorite show, I think, and I wasn't there, but it still was my favorite, was Simone Rocha. I thought the casting was, I mean, it always is. I always look at it online because I don't get invited to Simone. Maybe that's why I love it more. You know, it's like with boys when they don't want to date you, you
100%.
You fall in love with them. I just absolutely love her work. And this year, the casting was stunning. There were women of every
Agreed.
Age, every size, every ethnicity. And they were not all models. They were like real women. There was Chloe Sevigny. There was like artists from New York, etc. There was Lily Cole who made a comeback. I just loved it. I always love her clothes. They're just, to me, it's like dream world.
Yeah, it's fantasy and it's so creative and it's so native to London. Like, I just don't feel like that could exist in
any other
city. I
feel like she's also really started the trend, you know, for those mesh tulle sort of like balloony kind of dresses.
Yeah.
That kind of like, you know, the extra, extra large, but somehow still look super elegant.
Yeah.
I feel like she was one of the first to do that.
I have to say, I really, really loved the J.W. Anderson show.
Wasn't it your first one?
No. I've been like,
oh, sorry.
Sometimes.
I don't know why I just said that.
But it was, every time is like the first time with J.W. Anderson.
True. I don't know why I thought you'd never been. That's so weird. No. It's because last year I had to go on my own.
It's because last year I wasn't invited. And so I was very
oh,
happy
sorry,
to be
sorry,
this
sorry,
year.
Sorry.
But no, I used to go all the time.
Should we name and shame the shows that didn't invite us?
Yeah, let's just call them all out.
Burberry. Thanks for not inviting us.
Yeah, we would love to review Burberry, but we can't.
But we don't know what happened, so we have no comment.
But I will tell you what happened to J.W. Anderson.
What happened to J.W. Anderson?
So there were these fabulously impractical heels that the models walked on, a beautiful carpet that was meant to represent clouds. And then there were little skyscraper / rocks peeking out. So it was as if they were walking in the heavens in this on this beautiful, like, lush carpet.
And everybody had been walking in the rain, so that poor carpet.
I know, poor carpet, but it was worth it. And the shoes were these gorgeous black heels with tulle or some sort of ribbon streaming off of them that would, like, flutter in the wind behind the girls. And a lot of the dresses did the same thing, so it had this marvelous effect as if they were walking through the heavens with heavenly winds blowing through.
You're such a poet, Monica.
Riffling,
what are you doing in the fashion industry?
Hair and clothes. It was beautiful. It was someone else, I have to say, called it awkward elegance, because
awkward elegance.
It's an awkward walk when you've got.
I feel like you're the epitome of awkward elegance.
Oh,
Monica.
Thank you.
No, but you are. Isn't that
it
you?
It really struck a chord with me. I thought to myself, why didn't I think of that? I love the term awkward elegance.
Yeah, I think that is you. I'm going to call you that. I'm going to change your surname in my phone.
Because as my husband always reminds me, I don't have a great deal of coordination. But I would like to think that, you know, I have a certain amount of elegance in my, like...
No, you're extremely elegant. Extremely elegant, but...
Choices, you like the kind of... Not in the way that I particularly...
You like intellectual clothes, which may be misunderstood by the male gender.
So
it's awkward elegance, don't you think?
Yes, exactly.
Actually, I have to say, J.W. Anderson... was the only show that I posted about. There was a trench coat that I absolutely loved. I fell in love with it. A checkered trench.
Yeah, it was beautiful. No, and actually, though the clothes were very layered upon one another and looked like you were on a runway, if you're going to wear it that way, with the hats and everything, actually, if you take the pieces out of context individually, a lot of the dresses and trenches were super, super wearable.
I mean, I'm obsessed with him and his work. Yeah, me too. Louis V is always the show I look forward to the most in Paris, yeah, I have
amazing.
To admit.
It's amazing.
It's what I wore to your wedding, Monica.
You did, and you looked marvelous.
And the dress is now in a museum.
The dress in which Cami read from... God, I can't remember which gospel you read, which is really, really bad because I picked it really
shit,
specifically.
And I should remember that too.
Oh, Cantique des Cantiques.
Cantique des Cantiques.
And it was beautiful. Anyway, we digress.
I wish we'd recorded me.
I wish we'd done a Fashion No Filter special with Cami's reading.
Should we shout out the young, hip designers that people should be
the trendy kids.
Taking note of? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we should, yeah. I mean, Matty Boven is always a favorite.
Yeah.
Super cool. Richard Quinn, I think, show was beautiful.
Whose show was attended by the Queen last season.
Exactly. Regina Pio.
Regina
absolutely
is
love.
So, you know, she really understands what young women today want to wear. I really feel that way. I always look forward to what I sort of refer to in my own head as the London triptych. Erdem, Roxanda, Preen. I think that they... in three very different ways, represent London style. And they've all been creating beautiful collections for years now. I mean, they were the up-and-coming generation when I first got into fashion, but I feel that they've...
It's weird. For me, the triptych, I always see it was like, you know, the digital printers, like Mary Cotransu, Peter Pilotto,
I love
Chris
them too.
Kane.
Well, they're the other triptych.
That's the other triptych.
That's the other triptych. It's a different triptych, but it's equally as important, and I love them as well.
Okay, so next, I know what you're going to answer to this because we talk about this every year. What was your favorite venue?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say.
Of course.
Well, I'm completely obsessed with the National Portrait Gallery in London. And Erdem, for the past few seasons, has been showing there. In fact, I think I've written my stories. Please, Erdem, never, ever change your venue because I find it breathtaking. Portraits from, you know, the history of Britain and many other countries just staring down at you in these just beautifully curated rooms that you sit in the museum. And then I always think that the models, because, you know, Erdem is very sort of buttoned up and you'll have high collars, they look like portraits that have come
dramatic
to life.
Dramatic drapery coming to life.
Yes, well, it feels like the portraits, it's something out of Harry Potter. This is my imagination running wild, but whenever he shows in that venue, I feel like the portraits have climbed out of their frames and begun walking the runway, and they always get the girls to stand up really straight and have this sort of forlorn gaze like the subject of a portrait would. So it really speaks to me, and I love it, and I think it's such a treat getting to go
yeah,
to the show.
Yeah, I would
there.
Say that my favourite venue was the Tate Britain.
Also very
Victoria
cool.
Beckham show, which we should have said, like, she's back in London.
Huge deal.
Huge deal. Huge Why did deal. We forgot about that?
And she's such a wonderful designer. I mean,
yeah, she really is. Like, she's really come, I don't want to say come a long way, because I feel like she was even,
I mean, she was
cool
pretty
before.
Great when
exactly.
She was a
I've
teenager.
Always loved her. It's just like, yeah, she's grown up.
Yeah, and the clothes are very grown up. And yet, again, wearable, and I can work for a woman of any age. So love Victoria Beckham as well. There's a lot going on in London, actually.
Actually, I think London is having a bit of a moment.
On the eve of Brexit, we have fashion to get us through.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank goodness.
Okay, well, this one is awkward because I was going to ask you what your favorite
party
was. And it's the first time in my whole history of being a fashion weeker that I didn't go out a single night. I was...
Slow clap.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's happened. I did go to the Brits yesterday. That wasn't fashion-y though, but I did have a bit of a room. So we're relying
Hang on
Monica.
Did you enjoy yourself at the Brits?
Did I enjoy myself at the Brits?
Were you quite chuffed?
I was super chuffed. I wore the most ridiculous white short feather...
It was beautiful.
Mini dress that made me look like I was straight out of I, Tonya, which is very fitting because
like
I
the
used
figure skater.
Yes, but for those of you who don't know this about me, fun fact: I used to be a pro figure skater
she
up till the age of 14.
Confirmed. I didn't believe it, and then I saw photo evidence.
Yep. So that was going back to my roots.
Maybe you can link to some photo evidence in the show notes.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will post one. A picture of
Please.
Me and my little
so
juste au corps. So what was your favorite party?
I have to say the YouTube party hosted by Derek Blasberg and David Beckham after Victoria Beckham's show and sort of in honor of Victoria Beckham at the Marx Club was so fun.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah.
I was on David Beckham's Instagram on the day of Victoria.
Yes, she was.
I was on his Instagram.
In the background.
In his stories because they sat me opposite
well, that
him.
That was the best photo bomb. We were wondering what the best photo bomb
oh,
was.
Oh my goodness. The best photo bomb of the whole of London Fashion Week was me photobombing David Beckham's Instagram.
Yeah.
He posted his wife's catwalk. He was sat right opposite me and I was wearing a bright orange Joseph coat. I'm not sure why I was wearing bright orange actually that morning.
It looked great.
I don't normally wear.
It was much photographed.
Sometimes.
We were both quite colourful that day.
Sometimes when it's London Fashion Week, you panic a bit and you're just like, okay, I'm going to wear orange.
Yeah, because it's London and that's what's expected of you. But actually you pulled it off with great aplomb. I loved the Victoria Beckham, David Beckham, Derek Blasberg YouTube party at the Marx Club because Victoria decided to do a little singing, harking back to her Spice Girl days.
I'm
with
so sad I missed this.
An alternative accompaniment of four wonderful drag queens who were playing the other four
I
Spice
read on
Girls.
Derek Blasberg's Instagram that Posh had a beard.
yes. Right. And he claimed not to have known that when he hired them. It was really something. It was actually probably one of the best Fashion Week parties I've ever been to. And I love how fun Victoria Beckham is.
She's great.
Yeah.
She really is great. Okay, next. Who was your standout street style star this season?
Well, actually, this is a big shout out to the wonderful Jenny Walton, who's coming on the show later.
Oh, that's sweet.
I think she always looks incredibly well put together and unique. And look her up. Follow that lady if you don't already.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
First, I always love Sarah Harris.
Yes.
She's like she's the epitome of grace. She always looks chic and like herself.
Agreed.
Which I think during Fashion Week is sometimes, I mean, orange coat, basically.
Wait, Sarah Harris also wore an orange coat?
No, it's like only me would like suddenly pull out an orange coat out of nowhere when normally I only wear neutrals.
Sarah Harris wouldn't wear an
orange coat. Sarah Harris would stick to her neutrals and...
Sarah, if you're listening to this, I would like to know if you would wear an orange coat.
And my other standout street style star would be Pernille Tesbæk, the Danish stylist and influencer. She had given birth 8 weeks ago and was staying in Soho with her husband, her two baby boys and her mum, and looked so gorgeous.
I love it. They're so sweet. She just packs up the family and everyone comes to Fashion Week and it makes it so nice.
Yeah, and I was asking her, like, are you not too tight? Because she looked, like, stunning every day. And
I was sitting next to her at a show and I forgot that she'd just given birth.
No, and I said I said, are you tired? And she said, you know what? For me, it's really nice to get back into things. I think it's important because, like, some women obviously would rather stay at home and just, you know, have a little bit of a cocooning period.
But Which is totally
fair enough. But I think she really liked being back to herself.
Yeah.
And that's really nice too.
Yeah, exactly. I think being true to yourself and what you really want in that kind of period is really important. Mm. Well, we'll find out, won't we, someday?
Yes, one day.
We have absolutely no authority whatsoever on the subject as
Zero.
Of yet. But
Zero.
Pernille is impressive. What was your best beauty look?
I'm really bad at this because I never really noticed beauty.
Yeah, it's really funny, actually. I used to very occasionally write some backstage beauty stories for T Magazine years ago. And I realized when I had to go backstage and interview the makeup artist, which was like this amazing opportunity, but that I had paid absolutely zero attention to beauty.
But it's because I really don't understand makeup myself.
Me neither.
And I just never know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No idea. Very bad at makeup. If anyone wants to teach us.
Okay, so let's not talk about beauty.
Oh, no, I have one, though.
Oh, go on.
I have one because I thought about it. Well, it's beauty / head accessories. I thought that the beauty look at Molly Goddard was amazing. Inspired by Thomas Hardy novels.
Another one we should have talked about earlier.
And the models were given these sort of heavily flushed cheeks that gave the impression that they'd been outside sort of wandering in a winter woodland for hours. And it just looked, you know, that crisp, beautiful look. I don't
very
know how
English
they created
rose.
It. Very English rose. And then they were sort of wrapped in these cashmere schnuds.
Schnuds. What is a
I've
schnud,
not,
Monica?
I just invented that word.
What is a schnud?
It's a scarf and a hood.
Okay.
Should.
Actually, speaking of Molly Goddard, that massive pink tulle gown, which is, you know, it's the same one that the actress wore in Killing Eve.
Yes. Spectacular.
I can't wait for another TV moment for that dress.
I know.
They're filming season two. Maybe she'll...
We also wore Molly Goddard dresses in our TV show.
Oh, true. I forgot about that.
It's a real honor to get to dress up in the layers, many layers of colourful tulle. I hope we get to do it again someday soon.
Okay, because it's London and it rains the whole time, I want to ask you what your favourite waterproof look was.
Ooh, Linda Tall.
Oh.
Did you see her Ganni hat? She came to London with a rain hat and I thought to myself,
no, but I was going to say my favorite, and it's my favorite trend this year, actually. It's the bucket hat. I think it's really cool.
But this was, it wasn't quite a bucket hat. It was
maroon, hers is not
waterproof, rain hat. I mean, it looked like something Christopher Robin would wear, and she looked so sweet in it.
Christopher Robin. Standout street style star, Christopher Robin.
And Linda Tall. Christopher Robin is a real inspiration for me in London, as is Paddington Bear.
Well, see, I dress like Paddington Bear with my orange coat.
Exactly. As is Mary Poppins. I don't know if you...
Oh, yes. Your Mary Poppins look was also great.
Mary Poppins look. Love a brolly. What was your favourite trend?
Well, I can tell you what wasn't my favourite trend. my least favourite trend was headbands. I've always loved headbands, but I think
But you
this
thought
year,
it got killed by two.
Oh my
one
goodness.
Too many
there were like
seen
hordes
in the
of girls with like, you know, not just a little nice little waspy headband, which is something I could imagine you in.
But
you know,
love
like
a waspy
these
headband.
Huge headbands that almost look like something like
yeah.
the like Queen of England. It's like a crown.
Oh, or the Queen of England.
Like I don't know. I'm just not.
It is. You know what? The problem with Instagram, and I genuinely believe that this is what it is that I think people get really tempted to just layer on as many trendy pieces as possible. And you look like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Like, pare it down. We talked to Jenny a lot about how to pare down all of the trends, to sift through and to decide what your actual style is. And I think it's so important.
Nice transition, Monica. Maybe does that lead us on to Jenny then?
That leads us on to the wonderful Miss Jenny Walton, who we will hear from now. Enjoy the interview.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back, Fashion No Filterites.
It's London Fashion Week. We've just managed to escape from our morning of shows on Sunday, and we're having lunch with Jenny Walton.
We've captured her.
I've been taken away.
And we're sitting in the Beaumont Hotel having a lovely time discussing Jenny's past, present, future.
Yes.
Jenny, how would you describe yourself today?
Oh, God. I guess I would say I like to say I'm the better looking half of the sartorialist. My fiance, Scott Schumann, might beg to differ. But yes, I work with Scott on everything the sartorialist. And then I also do some fashion illustration on my own, too.
Did you follow Scott's work before you ever met him?
I did. So I originally am from New Jersey, and then I moved to New York to go to Parsons School of Design to study fashion design, where I did my BFA. And so we were constantly looking at his blog. It was like the go-to place for inspiration. This was 2008 to 2012, so yeah. Super popular. We were all very familiar with his work. And then once I graduated, I went to work at Calypso St. Bart as an assistant knitwear designer for 2 years. And so there as well, we were constantly looking at his work for inspiration, for different garments to do. I would go look back through the archives and pull different sweaters because I was doing knitwear. And I had no idea what he looked like, though. So when I met him, it was a total surprise. I had no idea who this guy was. But basically, our funny story of how we met is that I had been working at Calypso for about 2 years. And I lived down in Park Slope, which is like southern Brooklyn. And their offices were in Long Island City, Queens. So it was about an hour on the G train, which is famously the worst and slowest train in New York. And I felt like, God, I'm just never even in Manhattan anymore. You know, I moved here to be in the city. So I lied and said that I had a ticket to the Philip Lim show, which I did not.
I feel like we all blagged our way into our first.
Yeah, we definitely did. It's not that hard.
And so for some reason, my boss was like, okay, fine, you can go. So I went in, I'm walking towards the show, and this guy starts following me, and he says, oh, excuse me, I really like your style. I have this blog. It's called The Sartorialist. My name's Scott Schumann. And I just stopped dead in my tracks.
You were like, I've heard of it.
I was like, no, this is not happening right now. And so he tried to take my picture and he was like, oh, the light's not really right. Will you wait for me until after the show? And I'm like, I guess, you know, I'm very important. And so I waited for him. And when he came out, he took the picture and I didn't even notice that he was there. And then he put it on his blog.
Do you remember what you were wearing?
Yes. I was wearing pretty much all vintage, like little moccasin loafers that were vintage that I'd bought on like Etsy for like $20 or something that were too small. And it was freezing outside. There was like snow all over the ground. I'm totally dressed incorrectly. Wearing a big vintage gray skirt, a big A-line vintage blue coat and a little vintage sweater. Very A-line, like very like the Marc Jacobs show that they just showed in New York. And it was just amazing. The next day I went into work and the creative director at my company emailed me the photo because, of course, she was looking on his site every day. And I thought she'd be like, what were you doing not at work yesterday? And she just said, looking good, kid. And I was like, oh, phew, I'm safe. But yeah, he took my number then because he was like, I like your style. Maybe we could try and shoot some other time. But that was really it until a few months later. I had then quit my job at Calypso. And this was in 2014. So it was right around when Instagram was becoming so huge. And I really loved being an assistant designer and I love designing. It's just when you're an assistant, you know, it's a lot of emailing and following up on things. And I was feeling kind of just like not creative enough. And so what I would do to kind of take advantage of that hour on the train is I would just sit and sketch. And then when I got off the train, snap a pic, throw it up there, and it was great to get an immediate reaction, you know. And after a few months of that, brands started reaching out to me and saying, could you do an illustration for our denim brand, or could you do this or that? And so I got one job that was the exact amount of my rent. It paid $750.
Jackpot.
Yes, I called my dad. I was like, Dad, I'm going to quit my job because I got one job and it pays my rent, so I'm good. And he's like, Jenny, you need to make more than just your rent. So I quit Calypso and I had no real plan. I didn't know how it was going to work out. And it's great because you look back and you're like, God, I could only do that, you know, when I was young. Yeah. And I was just like, whatever, you know, yeah. I'm just going to do it. And so I started just illustrating and hustling and just doing any illustration job that I could find. And I met up with Scott again at the next fashion week in September. And I went to, I saw him and I was like, okay, you know, he was like, let's take a photo. And we walked around trying to take a photo and we ended up just talking for hours and hours. And it was so nice. And I think we both kind of realized that maybe there was something there.
Response.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And we really connected over that fashion week. And it was just a dream. But then at the end of fashion week, he had to go on to London, Milan, and Paris. And I had to go back to Philadelphia, where I was currently freelance designing at Anthropology at their headquarters. Oh. So I'm all sad in Philly, you know. I've just found this love, and now it's gone. It's gone off to Europe. And he texts me, and he goes, do you have a passport? And I'm like, what? Because also, I'm a girl from New Jersey who has never been to Europe in her life, never been outside the U.S., and I'm like, yes, for some reason. My parents got me a passport when I was like 10. And he's like, if I asked you to, could you be in Milan in 2 days? And I was like, oh. And everyone around me at Anthropology was like, go, go, get out of here, go. Like,
oh my God, this is from a movie.
I know. Yeah. They're like pushing me out the
no
door.
I had no idea that this is how it happened.
No, totally. Me neither.
It was insane. So I quit my job, fly to Milan, meet him there during Milan Fashion Week. I met him at the Armani Hotel, which is then later, a few years later, where we got engaged. And it was incredible. I mean, it was my first time in Europe. I made all the mistakes. I like took one of those taxi guys that like you're not supposed to take at the airport that's like, do you want a taxi?
Oh, no.
Like, I had no idea what I was doing at any point. He took me to Venice between Milan and Paris. I mean, he was just like, how
it's
can I...
It's a fashion fairy tale.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know those existed. You know, like, normally all the men are gay.
Right.
I'm still single waiting for my Scotsman.
It can happen. Yeah, and then we went on to Paris. And when we got back to New York, I mean, I basically moved in with him. We started working on everything together. He was working on his third book at the time. So I basically threw myself into that and was like, I can help you. I can help you, you know, lay out a book. And yeah, now it's been about 4 years. We've been together ever since.
One of fashion's power couples.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we love working together. It's really fun. You know, I never really met somebody before that I even wanted to be in like such a long-term important relationship. I never had, you know, big long-term important relationships or anything like that. I'm super independent. But there's just something that clicks with us and we're able to work together as well as be together as a couple. So it's very lucky.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's so funny that one of the queens of street style ends up with... the creator of street style, because I feel like he's one of the first to turn that into a thing, because I feel the same way about his work.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people to photograph me when I first was blagging my way into fashion. Yeah. And I remember the reason why it was so cool at the time is that even your male friends that had nothing to do with fashion would follow his work. So you'd have a random email from some guy like who was a lawyer and a friend of yours who'd be like, oh my god, Cam, you're on the street.
Ah, right.
And you'd be like,
no, yes, I like massively owe him one, basically.
Yeah, same.
We all do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do.
Thanks, God.
Yes.
But dressing is still a huge part of what you do, even though you're an illustrator. I feel like you're very known for your style.
Definitely. And it's something that I've always just been super interested in. I think it started with my mother. It was a combination of a few things. She used to watch a lot of old movies, and it was me and I have two sisters. So we'd just sit around and watch Betty Davis movies and Barbara Stanwyck movies, and I just fell in love with the idea of these women and the way that they just glided across a room. It was so incredible, and just I think when you're young makes such an impression on you. You can't believe that just goddess women there like this exist.
There is something very old Hollywood about you.
That's why your style is so unique, because it's so timeless.
Oh, thank you.
I really mean that.
Yeah, and it's not just because you wear vintage. I think it's the way you put things together.
Yeah, yeah. It's tricky because I shop vintage because most of my life I have had barely any money, so it was just out of a necessity. Right. And I wanted to wear certain things, but obviously I couldn't afford to shop anything more than Zara, really. So I was like, how can I shop in a way that's still unique? And so for me, I've always shopped extremely vintage. Another thing that my mom did is she brought us to flea markets, antique markets. Wow. She'd whip that car around anytime there was a yard sale. Like, we would stop anywhere, and she would give me and my sisters $5, and she would be like, okay, go, you know, find what you can and make it work out of that. And we just loved it as a challenge.
Can you tell us your best places to vintage shop in New York? I feel like that's a great tip if anybody's going over.
Totally. I actually do the majority of mine on Etsy. I love Etsy.
Oh, I'm interesting.
Also, I've never shopped on Etsy.
I love Etsy. People think that it's just crafts.
For me, it's more not. Interior. I look for mirrors and stuff on there.
Oh, interesting.
I weirdly bought a doll on Etsy the other day.
Oh my god, amazing.
A doll.
It's a long story for a different day. It wasn't for me.
You do, doll. Monica, I thought our relationship was great. How dare you?
That's so funny. Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, I tried to shop vintage for a long time in New York, and I have bought some beautiful things, but the problem with, it's not a problem, the tricky part about shopping vintage in person is that it is such luck of the draw. I mean, you go into a store, the chances that they're going to have something that not only works for you aesthetically, but also is your size, I mean, it's one size that you're finding there, it's very, very difficult to do in person. Yeah. I do go to Beacon's Closet a lot because it's just cheap and I like it and it's totally random. You have people in fashion selling their stuff so you can find higher things. But then just a lot of old things from the 60s or 70s that I love too. And then I go to the flea market sometimes on the weekend. The Brooklyn flea market is pretty good. But honestly, I usually do a mix of Etsy for more true vintage, and then I do a lot of the real as well for more of designer. I mean, I've bought so much Prada. You know, I'll buy...
I'm wearing Prada today.
Yeah, me too. The Prada skirt I'm wearing is vintage, and it was like $50 on Etsy.
Wow.
And I was just like, incredible. So I do so much
That's
of that.
A good tip.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, I've been looking a lot into sustainability, and I think as somebody in fashion, you just have to nowadays. You have to
Definitely.
Be aware. And it's really true that the most sustainable thing you can do is really shop vintage and take care of the clothes that you love and then resell them instead of just throwing them out.
Repair them. Yeah. I noticed on your Instagram you repaired a pair of, what was it? A pair of your shoes.
Yes, a pair of my shoes that my dog ate. My dog Charlie ate part of my Mansour Gabrielle shoes, which was very rude of her. But she can't read, so she didn't know that they were such a nice brand.
Tell us a bit about Charlie.
Oh my God, Charlie's the love of my life. She, besides Scott, she's a 2-year-old beagle, and I basically wanted a beagle my entire life. When I was like 10, I spent all of my money, which was $20, at Barnes & Noble buying how-to beagle books, and I presented them to my parents, and I was like, so I've read all of the literature, and I'm now ready to have a dog. And they were like, that's so cute, but we're more of cat people. No. So they didn't. I couldn't get one. So finally one day, because Scott and I work for ourselves, so we work out of our apartment, and he goes, you know, we could get a dog. And I was like, this is the first time in my life somebody's been like, you know, we actually could get one. I immediately got her. But yeah, she's amazing. She's really great.
An undisclosed source this morning told me that I should ask you about how you prepare to be a dog mom, because apparently you really...
You said you read all the books, but actually there was no real knowledge there whatsoever.
A lot of freezer.
This is Scott. This is Scott.
I cannot confirm or deny the identity of this person.
Charlie's amazing, but she's also, like, I feel like people's first children are sometimes maybe a little bit messed up because, like, they're figuring it out as they go, you know? Like, she's definitely got a lot of issues as well.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, but she's beautiful.
I mean, I haven't actually met her, but I... follow her with great enthusiasm.
No, she's fantastic.
What's her handle again? Charles von Barks a lot.
Yeah, she's a real keeper. But
she's,
yeah,
beautiful.
Yes, she's eaten a few pair of shoes, but we learned at a certain point, just, you know, keep the shoes away.
So right now she's waiting for you in New York.
Yes.
And are you doing the full fashion circuit? So we're in London today. Are you going to Milan?
Yes, Milan is my favorite. Milan is my favorite city. A lot of people in fashion are like, no, I don't like Milan. And I think they're crazy. I'm just a huge Prada geek. I love Prada. I love Miuccia. I love all of the amazing new Prada things in the city, like the Prada Foundation and all of the Marchese's. I saw that you guys are getting one here, which is amazing. Scott and I walked by it the other night. But yeah, we love that city. The people are so nice. There's a warmness to it. It's really great to watch the, I guess, older generation, you would say, walk around Milan, who still really get dressed up.
Absolutely.
It's just so inspiring. There's just something about the Milanese people that I am just so in love with. They ride their bicycles around. It's just, I'm sure I am romanticizing it in some ways, but I just love it.
No, I don't think so, because being French, living in London, I do find that that's like the Italian/French way of life. You know, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
Like pared back, and the things that mean a lot are what? Eating.
Right.
Being well dressed.
Family.
Yes. And you really do feel that when you're there.
You do. And I just love it. And it's so different from New York. I mean, I love New York and I love living there, but Milan is just this beautiful, magical place. And I get to go to Prada, so that's...
And I agree with you, the women a generation older than us dress so beautifully. And the men.
Yeah, and the men as well.
Do you think that Instagram has affected the way we dress in a big way? I mean, often designers get accused of designing for Instagram, you know, clothes have to be loud to be noticed.
Totally.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, Scott and I have been talking about it because we were wondering why sometimes it seems like things are a bit piled on now. You know, we were looking back in his archives at things, images maybe from like 10 years ago, and we're like, wow, there's just something a little bit more simple or pared back about it. It's kind of beautiful and soft. And I'm sure it's just, you know, we're reacting to the world we live in now in so many different ways. But I even feel it because I scroll through my Instagram constantly and faster, and I'm quickly saving things, seeing things, not even realizing that I'm, you know, taking that in. And I think a lot of us are just seeing so many images and thinking, yeah, I'll get that coat and put it on top of that other coat, and then I'll get that crossbody, and then I'll put 7 berets in my hair, and like, it'll be great, and I'll be, you know, checking all the I'll be checking all the boxes of every, you know, trend.
Yeah,
and I think it's easy with all of that craziness coming at us all the time right now to just get super just saturated in all of it and not be able to find ourselves within it, which is why I try and make a very clear, conscious effort. So, for example, how I kind of went around in January. I always do a bunch of, okay, let me rethink, you know, for the new year.
Marie Kondo.
Yeah. And I am really, I don't know who does the account, but there's an account called What Muchia, and it's basically What Muchia Wore. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I'll show you. It's so good. And it's just like chronicles of like her outfits and some of her.
Muchia herself.
Yeah, of Muchia, like herself. And I think she just has the best style. And then they also have some of the stylist and her longtime friend, Manuela Pavasi, as well. And I just went through and I screenshotted all my favorite Muchia looks that she was wearing, made a folder on my desktop, and I was like, this is my style icon. And this is like my home base. This is my, you know, true north, and this is what I'm staying with. And things might kind of come in and out of that, but I think it's really helpful to be like, this is my source, you know, this is like my...
But it's true what you're saying, because if you think about style icons the way we used to have them, like a Lady Diana, a Jane Birkin,
these women... The late Lee Rad as well, who just died yesterday. Right.
Yeah, but these women, I think if you take their head off the picture and you just keep the outfit, you recognize immediately who you're talking about or who you're looking at. And there's a simplicity in all these outfits that... nowadays I think is a bit lost.
Yeah definitely. Yeah, and just a uniqueness, that's something that made them their own, you know. Once I started analyzing all the Muchia photos, I realized, my god, I've got to buy socks, I've got to buy a lot of knee-high socks, I've got to buy hosiery.
Yeah,
like, yes, like these are her, I've got to buy a little doctor's bag, I've like, these are, I've got, I need a pair of platform sandals, and I need like and you start to kind of checklist and connect the dots, and like these, you know, this is what I really love. So it's very helpful to pare down, and that's a tricky thing to do right now, but...
Or curate, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Like sift.
Sift through all
There's
of that.
There's a lot of noise.
There's a lot of noise, and also I think sometimes people get annoyed about Instagram, and I'm like, you know what, at the end of the day, you choose who you follow. So if you want to follow these girls that just stare seductively into the camera in every single post and are very, you know, and you're just like kind of, god, I'm over this. I feel like I'm not actually connecting with her. Like, unfollow. Like, don't give her the power then. Like, follow somebody who's, who connects with you.
Don't hate follow.
Yeah. Like,
you know what hate following is?
Yeah. Following somebody. Yeah. Just to hate on it.
Just to, yeah, get angsty.
I mean, honestly, my number one accounts and the ones that I'm the most engaged with are all like old style inspiration accounts. I'm pretty sure I follow.
Oh, give us some shouts.
I'm mind sure dishing.
I'm sure I follow like every Audrey Hepburn account ever created. So like, go through who I follow and you'll find all of them. Mamucho is an amazing one.
Yeah, I love
that one. So good.
Stylist friend of mine introduced me to that recently.
I don't know it.
It's brilliant.
It's amazing. Really nice. It's so good. Simplicity City is fantastic as well. I just love the ones that bring up
90s Coma. I'm like really into.
Yeah, I like 90s Coma too.
I'm just like really into all the old movie stars and old celebrities and like what they used to look like before the camera was turned on them so much.
Right.
Before you had to project a version of yourself every day, and that like actually it's what people caught of you.
Yeah, and you know what, like, don't feel the pressure if it's not coming to you. Just like don't do it, you know, like stay true to yourself. There's so much noise right now that I think you almost get more credit by just being true to you.
Do you ever feel the need to switch off from Instagram?
Totally. I mean, especially after a fashion month or something where I'm just like go and I'm seeing so much every day, it feels amazing to go home and just decompress from that for a few weeks. And you need it. You know, a lot of times I might see a show and be like, I don't really get that, you know, that's kind of weird. And then a month later, I'm like, oh, you know, it's actually kind of growing on me now. You know, I've had a moment to like sit with it and digest.
Yeah, process it.
But yeah, like don't feel that pressure that you have to react to everything and every second, you know.
What do you look forward to here in London? I'm curious what your brands are.
I mean, to be honest, I'm such a Simone Rocha freak. Yeah, she's just amazing. My everything. And I just so connect with that brand and the world that she creates and the way she does up the models and everything. It's just such a beautiful fairy tale. Yeah, Chloe was there last night. I love, and that kind of goes back to what we were saying. It's such a unique point of view. Yeah. Like the coolest girl in town or the it girls are not like yes, I'm wearing Simone Rocha, because there are these, sometimes there are these ridiculous big gowns and things, like, you know? Yeah, they're not like, here's my belly button and here's my like thigh high slit, like, no. But they're so unique and they're so her.
They're beautiful.
And
yeah.
I love that she slowly progresses as well. Like in the show we just saw, she introduced blue for the first time, and blue is my favorite color. And I was like, oh, I'm dead. You know, it's like, finally, there's some blue. And it was just amazing. She's just doing this like slow build, which I kind of love. And it's really great and really unique, for sure. Yeah. And I'm just coming off of New York, which was a really crazy week for me. And
New York seems like it's got some real new talent.
Yes, it does. My favorite new-ish designer, I think this was his second presentation, was Christopher John Rogers. It was so beautiful. He's a young guy, and he showed in this little space on Canal Street one night. It was like at like 9 p.m. I was like, and it was snowing. I was like, God, I can't believe I'm leaving my apartment at 9 p.m. I can do this though, you know? So I go, and
fashion problems.
Oh yeah, so difficult. And because, you know, sometimes you go to presentation, they're not so good. They're not all great.
No, no,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, ah, let's see how this was. It was incredible. I mean, he's like, I think he's Brooklyn-based, but it was like a downtown couturier kind of vibe. Like, you imagine this downtown club kid throwing together these, like, beautiful gowns, and the models were all so beautiful, and it had such a great vibe of just, like, everybody in there knowing each other and being so positive and happy, and it just felt like such a new kind of thing, and it was so just elegant, in the similar way that the Mark show was as well. So this season was super incredible for me, because I've been a huge fan of Marc Jacobs for my whole life, and when I was in school at Parsons and he went to Parsons, and it was just like such a major thing for me to be walking the same halls that he did. And so finally I was invited to his show, and it was incredible.
It was an amazing show, wasn't it?
It's nice also to watch your enthusiasm, because obviously we didn't go this season to New York,
right,
but watching people like you on social media that really convey how fun it is to go to a show, that it's not just like work.
It's not uncool. It's not uncool to be enthusiastic.
No, not at all. I mean, I'll give you the rundown, but if you go to my page, I put the stories from Mark and my highlights on my profile so that you can relive me having an emotional breakdown again and again. So I go, and it's in the Park Avenue Armory, which it usually is in, and there's been one show a half hour before us at 6, and I'm at the 6:30 show. So people are posting from the 6 show. So I'm like not looking at social, because I'm like, no, 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 I can't. It can't be ruined for me. I have to experience this in person. People are texting me. I'm like, don't send a picture. I can't. I can't see it. So finally at 6:30, they lead us in, and it's just pitch black inside, super dark, very, very small runway of just a few stools or bar stools on a kind of mirrored glass, very short runway. And darkness everywhere else, and there's this ominous deep dark voice filling the space, and it's just saying, the show is about to start, please take your seat immediately.
Love
and I'm like
it.
Oh my god, my heart rate, you know, is going up and up and up. Find my seat, sit down, and I, you know, I'm sitting down for like 1 minute before boom, all the lights go down, and then one spotlight comes up far across the armory on a string ensemble, and they start playing music. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm starting to get chills. And I'm focusing my camera on them. Now at this point I'm like, wow, I really should have watched social so I'd understand how to correctly portray this on, and you know where the models are coming from, but it's fine, you'll experience it with me. And so I'm focused in on the string ensemble, and then there's just darkness all around us, and then boom, the first model walks right in front of us. It's like she came out of nowhere, and a spotlight comes down on her, because half of the armory was just darkness, so it was the models walking in darkness until the moment they hit
us. That's so cool.
And then boom, the spotlight hit them. They walk on this very short runway, spotlight following them, and then boom, it goes off at the end, and then the next one comes, and they just keep coming. And it was just, I started crying, because I just couldn't believe that I was, that I'm able to be in a position to be able to share that with people, and that I'm in such a privileged position. I mean, I got maybe 500 DMs after that show of people from all over the world being like, I'm on my morning commute. I'm taking my kids to their school right now, and I'm crying watching this. Like, thank you so much for making my, you know, Friday or my Monday morning or, like, whatever. And
I might start crying right
now. I
know,
but it's just so beautiful. And it's like, that is the, whatever you want to say around social or Instagram or whatever, like, the fact that me being there and just being open and honest about how I was feeling, experiencing such beauty and a theatrical, you know, thing in person, made so many people connect with it and moved people all over the world. And that's crazy. Like,
but that's because you're the dream showgirl. I think, like, so many people are blasé and have kind of lost, the spark.
Yeah, I think if you do anything for too long, you just kind of get used to it. I mean, Tim Blank's review of The Mark Show, though, started with, he's back. You know, not that he's ever gone anywhere, but he's back. Yeah. Like, that was an incredible, moving show. Christy Turlington walked in it, and all the PR girls for Mark afterwards were like, we cried too. Mark did a post saying that he cried as well.
Oh,
like,
my God.
We all cried. I don't know how you couldn't cry. It was something, you know, and you can watch the full video of it online, but with the strings going and they're going faster and faster as the girls are coming out and just the spotlights, and people were asking me, what's your favorite look? I was like, I love that A-line shape and I think it's amazing, but it's not even about a look. It was just about such a moment, you know? Yeah. Like,
so the fashion show is not dead.
No. No. My God, no.
And may it never die.
Yes.
I think it's such an important part of our industry. And yes, there are people who say it should be wasteful. And I think we need to be looking at, like, paper invitations and stuff. But the fashion show is how we actually... Sorry, I've just, like, jumped in here. But I have something I want to say.
Yeah.
The fashion show is how we actually, like, communicate face-to-face. And we need to not lose that.
And how we become inspired and, like, be in the moment if you're at that show. And be inspired and share it with your followers. And, like, bring them along with you. Because, like, you are so lucky that you're in a position to be there. Like, if you don't show the hell out of that with everybody on the internet, like, you're doing a disservice to that position that you've been put in.
And we are so lucky to be there.
For sure.
And we must never lose that childlike sense of wonder that, like, I definitely had. I mean, I still have it in really important shows, as you say. But remember the first, like, year you went to fashion shows?
Yes. Back? I mean, I remember I was at Parsons and I somehow finagled my way into, like, a standing ticket at Anasui, and I was, like, dying.
Right.
I was like, I'm not a show. It's happening.
My first fashion show, I think, was the Jean-Paul Gaultier one. But it was, I was one of the girls seating VIPs.
Oh my God.
So I got to, because I spoke English, so I got to seat the VIPs of Catherine Deneuve and like all of his actresses, you know.
Oh,
friends.
How exciting.
And because I was up there until then, they let me stand and watch it. And
that's
it was the
amazing
year that they passed in France La Loi Evin that prevented smoking in public spaces. So the first model that walked came out smoking a cigarette because he's such a provocateur.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, like, God, I love this. I was like, you see, fashion is political too.
Amazing.
And I just loved it. And I remember, and I was young, I was maybe 16. And I just remember thinking, like, you see, people just think it's this superficial thing. But actually, it's also a way of making a stance and getting a point across.
Absolutely. Well, do you think, Jenny, that fashion is or should be political?
I mean, I'm in it for the beauty of it, that it's not, somebody asked me today, they said, do you ever write anything negative about any brands?
You're just a happy
person.
And
I said, you know what? They go, do you ever dislike things? And I say, sure, I definitely dislike things. And then I just don't post them. Because it just seems like there's not enough. Also, you know, I'm not the fashion critic for the New York Times, or anything, you know, and I think
who was on the last episode,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, I know. I love Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. And
no, she's amazing.
We're sorry you have a really hard job.
She does, because she does have to really be tough on
it. I know.
I'm lucky enough to be like, you know what? There's so much noise out there. Like, I just want to present the best of the best than the thing and the things that I'm passionate about and that I love.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of more. I do think it is important to show a reflection of the times, and if you're not paying attention to what's happening in the world and you put out a show and you can have a bad backlash then because, you know, you didn't take certain things into consideration.
Like the Eddie Sliman show, which was on the same day as the Kavanaugh hearing, and I think he never
that
had the
wasn't
end of that.
Great.
Right, yeah.
Because it was so funny that, like, people made that connection. But I suppose Phoebe, being the feminist that she is, women
Phoebe really was a woman dressing women to be
strong
themselves
and
yeah.
independent and themselves, and not just to be, you know, there for men's viewing pleasure. And it just felt so ironic.
Totally. And that's a great example of where you need to be tuned in. You don't have to be political per se, but right. like, you need to know what's going on. Or like, you know, people were upset with the Tom Brown because the models were very restricted right. and walking very slow, and it just felt very restrictive in a moment where women want to and do feel very liberated and are very conscious about, you know, being in looks that they can't move in.
You were
in.
Saying something earlier yeah, to us about tricky. Like, I we were not recording, but I think we should talk about it, about how maybe women don't want to dress pretty anymore.
Right.
Because that's what their mums and their grandmas used to do.
And yet, Jenny, you do it so well, being a very strong woman. Like, how do you marry those two ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have to dress for yourself. So really try to figure out how you really feel and what really makes you feel good to wear, and not that you're just reacting to something. But I was saying that, yeah, I think it makes sense that a lot of women aren't into dressing pretty right now, because pretty just feels so your mother or your grandmother, and it feels like they were very restrained and not given a lot of the opportunities that you want. And so, of course, you don't want to just go down that same old route. So I totally understand women who don't want to wear heels because they want to be able to keep up with men and not be, you know, slowly walking behind them. Or if anything feels restrictive to you, like, I get it. Don't wear it, you know? I like heels because I'm short and they actually do make me feel good. But, you know, when I'm walking around the city most days, no, I'm not wearing heels. I'm just wearing Converse or whatever. But, you know, I also like to dress up sometimes too. So you have to do what's right for you and what makes you feel beautiful and fantastic. And maybe it goes back to your references as well. Like, I grew up watching so many old movies. So to me, something about putting on a beautiful dress, like, it just feels so wonderful and glamorous. And I think of those women as empowering and strong. I don't think of them as, you know, victims or anything like that. But yeah, it's a very tricky time. I understand why women don't want to just be pretty. You know, I get that.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be
I think the other big issue that we have at the moment in fashion is the sustainability angle, that it's difficult to...
It's so difficult right now. You know, I did a post in Stories asking my followers because... So I personally, and a lot of people don't know this, but a few years ago, I completely stopped wearing... I used to wear vintage fur and vintage feathers. And I always thought in my head, oh, it's fine. You know, they're vintage. And I do think that that is fine. But once I started working with Scott and I started going to Fashion Week and started getting my photo taken, I started thinking, my God, these photos are going all over and they might be in Elle Magazine or wherever. And I'm not there to be like, oh, but that's a vintage fur.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually why I stopped wearing fur. I stopped wearing fake fur. I stopped wearing feathers. And it's tricky because I even sometimes don't want to report on those things because I'm vegetarian myself. It's more of my kind of personal stance. But I'm not super into that. So, but, you know, then you go to something like the Marc show and there are a lot of feathers, but it's so incredible what they create. And I can't help but show that beauty, and it is inspiring to me. So anyway, I asked my followers about any good vegan leather options because I was like, maybe I'd like to explore that. You know, things like, you know, we all know Stella, obviously, Stella McCartney.
Manushka.
Right. But I thought, you know, what else is out there? And so I asked people and they sent me a few brands, but honestly, the results were incredibly depressing because most brands right now that are doing vegan are just marketing it as vegan and it's all plastic and it is even worse for the environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in that point, I think, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep buying my vintage Prada shoes from The RealReal because it's the best thing I can do because leather takes 50 years to break down, whereas it takes 500 years for that fake plastic leather to break down. And so many websites... Right, and so many websites that say, oh, here's our new vegan leather line, they don't even disclose what it is. When it says materials, it just says 100% vegan leather. That's not a thing. You have to say if it's, you have to say what that material is. And most times if they're not saying, it's some form of plastic, and it's even worse for the environment. So you really do have to just look into these things, and you have to just be questioning each thing. And this is where I say my stance right now is to buy vintage and is to do a little bit more of that where I can. But you really we're at a point where you have to start thinking about the planet, and you have to start thinking about each you know, thing you're doing, and whether it is wearing fur, whatever it is, think of all the consequences that go with that for our planet, for everything. You know, just be well informed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Should we end on that?
On that note.
I just feel like that's quite a not lifting message.
It is.
Yeah.
Focused, conscious, but still no, enjoy fashion enjoy as much as Jenny does. No, because you
can enjoy
it,
but you can enjoy it in a in a conscious way.
Yeah, exactly. You absolutely can.
What are we doing next?
Next, we are going to go see the Peter Pilato show.
Yes. Whoop, whoop.
Amazing. Whoop. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for
such
coming.
A pleasure. You're both really icons to me. So
this is as a major are moment. You, oh, Jenny Walton.
Oh my goodness.
And as is Von Berchtesgaden.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Oh, it's so nice to speak to someone who's so enthusiastic and genuinely happy and enjoying everything, don't you think?
Yes.
I find her energy really infectious.
Me
she
too.
Makes me kind of want to climb into her world. And
she put me in a good mood for the rest of the shows.
Yeah, no, I love Jenny. She's amazing. If you don't follow her on Instagram, at Jenny Walton.
Follow her now.
And that's all for us today. As usual, you can find us on Instagram at Fashion No Filter. Slide into those DMs or on email. fashionnofilter@gmail.com if you have any questions or suggestions, or if you want to intern for us, because we have a lot of work
yes,
that needs doing.
Especially if you're a young journalism student.
Yep.
Fashion students, great too. Journalism students with a tiny bit of technical skills, possibly the ideal of all ideal interns. So don't hesitate to email us. And also, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Because the more you do, the more of these we can make.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.